Good morning. It's Sunday, the 13th of November, and welcome to Ballyhenry. Welcome to those joining by Zoom, and welcome to those listening online or on CD. I want to give a warm welcome this morning to the Reverend Harry Robinson and his wife Jenna, and trust that you both will feel very much at home among us. Harry is the Minister Emeritus of Downshire Presbyterian Church in Carrickfergus. In the early 2000s, Harry looked after the vocational training of ministry students at Union Theological College when Niall was a student. A few announcements to make. Niall is currently on sabbatical leave, and during this time, if you need to contact a minister, for example, a hospital admission or bereavement, you should contact our pastoral assistant, the Reverend Johnson Lamb, and his telephone number will be on the manse answering machine. Your church envelopes for 2023 are available for collection in the welcome area after the morning service. Fellowship groups meet this coming Wednesday in the church and on Zoom. Then next Sunday is the last Sunday to return the shoeboxes. Just to make our committee aware, the next committee meeting has been scheduled for the 29th of November. Then it was great last Sunday around lunchtime to welcome home our Cambodia team. And I just asked Martin now to come forward with an update.
Good morning, everybody. This is actually us. It's not on screen. We're actually here. So very quickly, we had a really smooth trip back, surprisingly in comparison to the trip out, but it was long, but it was very smooth. We're all back safely, and it's good to be back with you again. We plan to do an update, but not at a morning service. We're going to take a Sunday evening, the 11th of December. So for people who are interested in what we've done, we'll promote that beforehand, and you'll have an opportunity to come and see. There's an awful lot of stuff we can't post on a chat. There's an awful lot of pictures that we can't put out with faces, etc. on it. So we'll give a lot more detail at that time. If you were on the WhatsApp group, if you were here before we went off, you'll have seen that we took a couple of extra members of the team with us. We took a couple of pictures just to let you see what they were up to. All being well. There we go. It's not up, that screen's off. So you can see that the trip out, they did some sightseeing while they were there, and trip back again as well. They went out with us as we gave some food parcels out to a few families as well. Here we go. Unfortunately, I'm in that one. But we looked after them really well. They were really well behaved, those two members of the team, unlike some of the other members of the team, I have to say. There was one who actually drew all over a plain white wall, but we'll not mention any names, Jeff, sure we won't. So we'll give you some updates, more information. So 11th of December, just one very final thing. I know there's a lot of people here really like their quizzes. Nothing to do with the team, nothing to do with Ballyhenry. It's Eggshell specifically are running a quiz on Friday night. So if anybody would like to go to a table quiz on Friday night to raise money for Eggshells directly, give me a shout and I'll let you know the details. Friday night, 7:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. That's all the announcements. Thank you, and now I'll hand over to Harry.
Well, thank you, William, for your welcome. It's very good to be with you here in Ballyhenry. First visit, always good to see somewhere different and new. I had the privilege, among others, of supervising Niall's passage through theological training and so forth. And as you can imagine, he presented us with no issues whatever. And I know that you have a caring, thoughtful minister and are richly blessed by him, I am sure. So great privilege to be back here where Niall usually is. We're going to join this Remembrance Sunday by singing appropriately, O God Beyond All Praising. We worship him together.
Thank you.
So we join in prayer together. Our great and our gracious God, we come this day to praise and to worship, but also to remember, to reflect, and to learn. To remember the lessons of the past, the cost of war, the price of peace, the scope of human depravity, the extent of human self-sacrifice. Remind us of all we owe, lest we forget. And our great God, we have come to remember all that you have done, your creative acts right at the beginning of time, your making of star upon star, planet upon planet, and then this remarkable little planet that we are privileged to call our home. And then your mighty deeds throughout its history. And then your dealings with your people down through the centuries. And above all, your gift of Christ. And through him, your love experienced daily in our lives. Remind us of all we owe, lest we forget. And forgive us that so often and so easily we do forget. Forget the countless shoulders on which we are privileged to stand. Forget that so much that we take for granted was won at such great cost. Forget that our best freedom and our final freedom was won for us when young, strong, Galilean arms were stretched out upon a cross. Remind us of all we owe, lest we forget. And these are prayers we bring together in our rescuer's name, and we gather them up in that prayer that he taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, boys and girls, you're coming up and we'll have a word or two together. Why not? Great, good to see you. Excellent. There we are, on we come. Good man. Make yourself comfortable. Yeah, yeah. I have a few things with me today in this wee box. I'm seeing you're sitting. I'll sit too. So I have with me today, well, in case somebody gets peckish, some Pringles. And, I have a little photo album. Yeah. I have, some flowers. I've got a little tractor. Fancy it? Any of you into craft? PVA glue? Nobody into craft? Okay, I'll take that home again. Anyone into Skittles? You're going to be busy. Been driving a tractor and knocking down Skittles. It's a carrot. I have to take that home for lunch. This is a, what is it? What do you think that is? It's a book. It's a sort of, yes, it's a notebook. Little game, little puzzle. Yeah. Oh, anyone fancy this? Are you sure? You maybe put your hand up too soon, did you? That's okay. Yeah, like a look at that? Perfect. And last but not least, a little storybook. Fancy that one too? Okay. Now, okay. Let's put them like that, shall we? Anyone going to have a go at remembering everything I had in my box? Who would like to have a go? Do I have a go? Do I have a go at everything I have brought out of the box? I brought out arts and craft. Oh, the glue. Yes, yes, I did. I did. I brought the arts and craft glue. The notebook. The reading book. You're going well. The doll. Don't tell her, don't tell her. That's a secret between you and me. A tractor. You and I'll have a chat afterward. No, we're okay, we're okay. We're still mates. Right, go ahead. You're doing brilliantly. That's okay. That's okay. That was just great. That was just great. Very, very well done. You remembered most of them. Because it's not always easy to remember. Sure it's not. Which is why we're wearing these today. To help us to remember. Now, I wonder if we work together, could we get the rest? Could anyone remember what anything else? A skittle, that's right. Excuse me. We need to put an age limit on this. There was a sort of puzzle, wasn't there? Yeah. And Pringles.
Flowers.
Oh, there's only one thing left. There's only one thing left. Brilliant. Brilliant. And there they all are. Do you see what happens? When we come together and we work together, we can remember even better. And that's one of the reasons why we come to church and you go to prime time and so on, so that together you can remember people who gave their life. Today we remember people who gave their lives so that we can live as we do, and we remember someone in particular who gave his life a long time ago now. And that's really the main reason why we are here, not just this Sunday but every Sunday. Because Jesus, God's Son, came to earth for us, to rescue us, from the wrong things that would otherwise hold us captive. So we remember today lots of people, and we remember today, and I hope every day, Jesus, God's Son. Thank you for remembering so well. Brilliant. And thank you for your help at the back. We're going to sing. What are we going to sing? No. We're going to sing All Scripture is God Breathed. Now, I wonder, do you normally head back to your seats, or do you normally stay about for the...
Stay.
Normally stay. Brilliant. Does that mean they sing beautifully? Whoa, always. Excellent. Now. Let's hear you. So we'll stand and we'll sing, All Scripture is God-breathed. Okay, if you want to just head back to your seats, if that's okay, just with mums and dads, if you're happy to do that just meantime. Good stuff. Because we're going to join in something quite special now and something important. What we usually just call our act of remembrance. And so let's just come at that like this. We are met to offer to God our worship and our praise, but as part of this worship, on this particular day, we meet to thank him for his merciful deliverance of us and of our land and nation. We meet to remember before him with deep gratitude those who made any sacrifice, and especially those who made the supreme sacrifice, recalling that Jesus said, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." I invite you, please, to stand, and then for Trevor to lead us in the Remembrance Act. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, or the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. We join in a minute's silence. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we give our today. Do please be seated, and the children will leave for prime time, young people for Bible class, and when the movement has settled a little, Laura will play, enabling us to have a few moments together of silent reflection. Thank you, Laura, and thank you, Trevor, for your parts in helping us in our remembrance today. I'd like to read just some verses from John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 9. And if I may, I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. My late mother, in her early 80s, commended this translation to me. Someone had commended it to her. I had known of its existence, but had confused it with the Living Bible, which was never meant to be a translation, only just a paraphrase. What I hadn't understood was that the Brethren biblical scholar F.F. Bruce had worked on this revision to turn the Living Bible into the New Living Translation. These are the words of Jesus. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment, Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. And may God write the truth of this, his word, upon all our hearts. Now, is there a nice blank screen somewhere? There is, great. I wonder if you could guess, please, where this photo is taken. The Ulster Museum, perhaps? Or maybe more likely, the Somme Heritage Centre, sadly struggling a wee bit there on the Newtownards to Bangor Road. No, it's taken, that shot was taken in neither of those places, and nor was this one or the next one. They were actually taken in the front room of our Fiona's, our daughter Fiona's. Because her hubby, William, over the last few years, has developed a really passionate interest in all things connected with the world wars. And there in their front room, and more rooms, and more shelves and cabinets each year, there was this ever-expanding mini-museum. And there's no doubt about it, the items are fascinating. But in your front room, we feared divorce. But thankfully, a compromise was reached. A dedicated room created above the garage, now known to one and all as the War Office, William's War Office. So not surprisingly, when a few years ago it was suggested to us that we would holiday with our daughter and son-in-law and family, the venue that they had thought of was quite predictable. It was Normandy, which in truth was no hardship for us, since we'd actually had it in the back of our minds for some time too. So down through England we went, and through the Channel Tunnel, and down into this delightful little part of northwestern France known as Normandy. Now, I'm sure you're like me in this. When you're going somewhere that you haven't been before, you can't help it, but you form a mental picture of the place that you're going to. Maybe from photographs or brochures you've glanced at, maybe from conversations with those who have been there before you. But you form a picture in your mind, one that's usually partially right, but that's almost always largely wrong. And so it was with me in my preconceived mental picture of those famous Normandy beaches that we had gone to see, the scene of that great Allied invasion on the 6th of June, 1944. Oh yes, I'd seen the photographs. I'd seen snatches of film. We all have. But I have to admit to you that what I expected to see in Normandy, that mental picture that I was carrying there in my head, was probably a stretch of coast, say, from about Belfast out to Whitehead, something like that. That's what I had in my mind. That's the scale of what I thought I was going out to see. In reality, it's like this. Five long, long beaches from Utah out in the west to Juna and Sword there in the east. And just to give you a sense of the scale of the thing, where would that stretch of coast from Belfast to Whitehead, where would it fit on this map? Well, it would look, if we tick on forward a little, there it is. That's exactly what Belfast to Whitehead would look like along that Normandy coast. I tell you, I struggled to get my head around the sheer scale of what I was seeing. So it's little wonder then that the men who took part in those D-Day landings, they looked back at the sheer magnitude of it all with awe and utter amazement. For they saw this huge, long stretch of coast just chock-a-block with boats. And they said they simply did not think that there were that many ships in the world. That was the sheer scale of the operation. And again, we were hit with this on that holiday. For instance, once you've got your troops on shore, once you've established a bridgehead there in Normandy, how then do you supply them and support them and reinforce them? Well, you do it from the sea. But how do you protect your ships from enemy attack and Atlantic storms while you're trying to do that? Well, you take them into the safety of a harbor. But what if there is no harbor? Well, then you just build one. But not like one like Carrick or Bangor or Belfast. One rather like this. Massive. Just massive. Stretching away out across the bay at Aramonch. And built so solidly and built on such a scale that nearly 80 years later, a good deal of it is still there. Yes, the sheer scale of what I saw, I have to say, I found mind-boggling. Even without beginning to reckon that what we were looking at was just one corner of a vastly bigger campaign. But if the scale of the operation takes you aback, in truth, it is as nothing compared to the scale of the sacrifice. For it's one thing, isn't it, to see it in photographs, as we all have. But those of you who have also been there will know that it is quite another thing to walk there, row after row after row, cemetery after cemetery after cemetery, aged 17, aged 18, aged 19, and ever so many mutilated beyond recognition and identification. And on their gravestones then that inscription that I love so much, known unto God, for so they are. These cemeteries are at one and the same time some of the most peaceful places on God's earth. They are lovingly manicured. And yet I doubt if I have ever stood on sadder ground. They are both holy and harrowing. A whole generation, right at the prime of life, we must always remember. We must always remember. But, is remembering enough? All those boys, and that's what they were, most of them little more than boys. All those boys, all those bodies. Is remembering enough? Well, it's not, is it? They laid down their lives so that you and I might enjoy a better world, a free society, human dignity. So what do? We with these precious privileges bought at such a high price, surely we must do more than just remember. Surely we must more nearly resemble. More nearly resemble. That is, if they made the ultimate sacrifice to make our world a better place, should we not be prepared to make some small sacrifice to do the same? For while the challenges are different today, they are still immense. A world still red with blood. A world corrupted from top to bottom by human greed. Its politics getting more toxic and self-serving at every turn. A world, isn't it, where truth and integrity are just becoming concepts that you can only read about in books, not find in everyday life. A world where the most vulnerable and the voiceless are neglected and abused. It is hideous. And what sacrifices, what small sacrifices have we been prepared to make to create a better world for those coming after us? And I'm guessing that you know the answer as well as I do. What small sacrifices? None worth talking about. What a contrast to the thousands and thousands lying row upon row in Normandy. Gathered here in church, I'm rather hoping that we haven't missed the echo. For of course, you don't just find supreme sacrifice 80 years ago in France or Belgium, or Afghanistan, or here in the Troubles. No, you find the supreme sacrifice outside a city wall 2,000 years ago. And what a sacrifice that was. Those young men lying in those Normandy graves, they gave their lives for those they loved and those who loved them. This young man gave his life for those who didn't give a toss about him and still don't. Those young men lying in Normandy graves gave their lives because once they had signed up, actually they had no other viable option. Desertion meant death and disgrace, and all credit to them, they went to a hero's death. But this young man, he had options. Even after he had signed up for the mission, he had options. He could have called it off right at the very last moment. 12 companies of angels, he said, were ready right then to rescue him. But even with the option of life, he chose death. Dying for those who would desert him and who have been deserting him ever since. Dying for those who tomorrow in the workplace will try to humiliate any colleague who let slip that they were at church today. There's supreme, supreme sacrifice for you. We must never forget it. Because there's never been another one like it, and nor will there ever be. We must always remember. We must always remember. But is remembering enough? Does mere remembering do him justice? Well, it doesn't, does it? To do him any sort of justice, we mustn't merely remember, we must surely more nearly resemble. He who reached down in his friendships, we who just carefully reach across to those we reckon think like us and share our values. He who had nowhere to lay his head, we who dream of bigger and better, never mind that what we now have is way beyond the post-war generation's wildest dreams. He who endured misunderstanding in life and sin-bearing agony in death, his supreme sacrifice to bring God's good news to the undeserving. Surely, as we look at his cross, the same question confronts us as when we look at those Commonwealth graves. Considering his sacrifice, what small sacrifice have we been willing to make for Jesus and his cause and kingdom? What small sacrifice in response to and in gratitude for his supreme sacrifice? And I'm guessing you know the answer just as well as I do. What small sacrifice? None worth talking about. Moment of prayer together. Lord, your cross never fails to catch us out. You couldn't have stepped further outside your comfort zone. We seldom, if ever, do. You couldn't have given more. We struggle to give even a little. Your love didn't have boundaries and conditions and get out clauses. Ours too often is totally conditional and confined to those who love us in return. Forgive us, Lord, truly and deeply forgive us, and set us free to become a little more like the one we claim to know and love and serve. And in that freedom, may we find a joy and a fulfillment that nothing else can give us, and that nothing or no one can ever take from us. For his praise and pleasure. Amen. We're going to sing. Before we join again in prayer, we're going to sing Praise the Lord.
To us, let everything that happens.
Take a moment to pray together. Father God, we recognize now that we are lifting up before you a world very different from the one you designed and made, a world of wars and rumors of wars, a world where some enjoy ease and comfort while others struggle and suffer, a world where some shed tears of joy while others cry out in anguish and pain. And in such an ill-divided world, we pray for those who find themselves at the wrong end, the raw end. We pray for those who suffer directly or indirectly from the violence and the viciousness of warfare, the many widowed, the countless orphaned, the millions displaced from everything and everywhere they think of as home, and those who continue even many years later to carry the physical and psychological scars. And we pray for those who this day suffer at the hands of others, those who live under cruel regimes, are persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, for being the wrong ethnic group, the wrong side of the religious divide. And not least today do we remember again Ukraine, where we continue to witness a barbarism that we thought was confined to history. We struggle to look at the images we're seeing. We try not to think about what's being inflicted on so many innocents, especially children and even babies. But even though we find it hard to watch, even as we're tempted to shut out the images, help us not to turn our hearts and our minds away and act and think as if it weren't happening. Instead, give us a sensitivity that genuinely cares for the plight of so many who previously lived much as we live here, but whose homes and livelihoods, whose families and friends have been devastated. And Lord, if we feel for them in spite of our self-centeredness, how much more do you? So will you come in might and in mercy, softening hard hearts, turning the minds of those who would conquer at any cost, and creating a willingness to work for a peaceful solution. And then, Lord, we wouldn't forget those right across the world, especially in the developing world, who suffer as a result of how we live here in the Western world. And what a contrast. Those who starve while people here struggle with obesity. Those who are ensnared in poverty while people here juggle investments. Those who haven't access to even basic medicines while people here treat themselves to cosmetic surgery. But that said, Lord, we know that we in the West, with all our advantages, are not immune to the hard side of life in a fallen world. For we too experience disappointment. We fall prey to disease. We lose those whom we love, at least for a while, to the short-lived triumph of death. So how glad we are that in it all we do not walk alone. For you are the God who always steps in, not always to spare, but always to strengthen, and always to bless and help. So will you, Lord, in mercy, step into the issues of facing all those whom we now quietly name before you in your presence. Step in, Lord, we pray you. Work in bodies, in minds, in spirits, as you do know best. Do each of them good, dear Father. And through the change that you bring about, bring honor and praise to their helper and their healer, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to conclude our service as we sing. And then after that, if you would mind remaining standing for the benediction and the national anthem. Thank you, Lord, for the years.
Lord, for us.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, and with all those of whom we have thought and for whom we have prayed, this day and forevermore. Amen.